Carrying on, awesome. CAMSAC, welcome. It's good to have you guys. You're kind of going, what am I doing here? I feel like a drug here. Well, we're glad that you came. So awesome that you came. And for those of you that didn't know, my name is Joel, and yeah, I have a wonderful wife. We've been married for 12 years, and she looks like she's like 20. I just look old. So I'm married up, and I'm very thankful for that. And I got four beautiful kids, 7, 5, 2, and a newborn. So it's great. I get to sleep through the night when I came here. So Cam said, do you want to come? Yes. For 3 days. Oh, can we make it 5? So I know, but it's an honor and a privilege to be here. And just kind of like what Pastor Cam was saying, my wife and I, we do have a network, I guess you would call it, of it's called Impacting Canada Ministries. And the purpose behind it is we are in Canada for Canada. I mean, I'm thankful for all the other nations. I'm thankful for the United States. But it's something about Canadians. When we rally together, man, there's just anointing and a strength in this nation. And that's what the whole premise of this network really is for. And, you know, just before we want to just say anything, I also just want to say, Pastor Ray and Pastor Linda, thank you so much for all the work that you guys have done, too. Like, we are thankful for the generations, how this goes on. Can we just give them a hand, too? Want to honor you. Thank you for all that you do. And like Pastor Cam and Candace, like I took over the church from my parents as well. So I'm thankful for generations. And not only that too, but generations that know how to transition well. That is important, because I've been to some churches and they're dying out because they refuse to transition. So you should be thankful transitions happen. Because if they don't happen, it gets ugly. And then eventually some churches sadly just die off. But I'm thankful that this is such a healthy place to be. So if you're looking for a church, or this is maybe you do call this home, I want to let you know how blessed and very fortunate you are that you have a place to call home like this. It's a good spot to be. And so if you're looking for a home church, this is it. This is the place for you to be. This is a good spot because, man, you have pastors that love the Lord. You have leaders that love Jesus. And there is no safer place to be than somewhere where Jesus is honored, where Jesus is talked about, because you know that they're sitting on the right track. It's a good place to be. So I just want to commend you on that. It's wonderful. So if you got your Bibles again, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read these verses again. And we're going to dive into a few more things, and I know a few people weren't here last night, but I'm going to do my best to kind of catch everybody up and then go forward. But I know that Jesus has something for you tonight. And what I love about our God is alive, our God is well, our God is speaking, and He is ever so present every time we come gathered together. And I'm so thankful for His presence here. I know He's good and He's faithful to do what He said He would do. And again, Ephesians chapter 3, this is kind of what the leadership team here decided, Pastor Cam and Cadness had on their heart, this limitless conference. I just like that word limitless. Right? Anybody like that word limitless? Man, I'm limitless. I don't like to be limited. Hate when, you go to a restaurant, they say, oh, only limit to 2 drinks per customer. That is very annoying to hear. I remember as a kid, there was it's called the Red Deer Lodge at the time, and it was a really great restaurant, it was a great hotel, and at this, we would go every Sunday afternoon, my whole family would go. My grandfather owned a big butcher shop, and so the guy was raking in the money, so he would take the entire family out to go to the Red Deer Lodge for lunch right after church service, and forget lunch, they had all-you-can-eat ice cream. Talk about unlimited, man. That was exactly where we needed to be. You put sprinkles on there. I like coconut, so you just load the coconut on there and chocolate or butterscotch chips. Is that butterscotch chocolate chips? How do you say that? Chocolate, not chocolate chips, but yeah. Man, that's what I'm talking about. So if you're ever looking for a good time, Red Deer Lodge, they'll hook you up. But here we are, Ephesians chapter 3. You're probably thinking, now I want ice cream. I know, me too. So verse 14, let's just read this prayer again. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's praying for the Ephesian church. And he says, I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that He would unveil within you. Where is He going to unveil it? Within us. Remember, God works from the inside out, not outside in. That's what religion tries to do. Religion tries to force. You got to do, you got to be, you got to act, and then Jesus will. No, 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 no. Jesus works from the inside out, completely different from religion. Religion stinks with a capital S, blows. Nothing good about it. He said this, that He wants to unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor. When does He want to do it? Until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. So this is what He wants to do. He wants to keep unveiling within you the unlimited riches of his glory until supernatural strength floods your mind, till it takes over. So you can see God doesn't stop pouring. He keeps pouring, and all of a sudden you think you have enough. He says, no, shut up, you need some more. That's who our God is. He never stops. God is always turned on. Isn't that good news? That you don't have to turn God on. That's why we could say, if anybody wants to, you know, receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior tonight, well, you don't have to wait till he's in a good mood, because he's always on. Anybody want to get filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? Guess what? He is on. Anybody want to receive the healing tonight? Guess what? He is always on. We just need to learn to cooperate with him. Got to learn to dance with him, right? Because there's a certain way of doing it. Verse 17, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. I love that. What is the source of my life? It's not me loving Jesus. The root and source of my life is Jesus loving me. That's even changed even in my own personal time with the Lord. So much of the time I would be spending time with the Lord and be like, okay, I'd be studying. I'd be just spending time, just, Lord, I love you, I love you. And that's good. But the Lord arrested me a couple weeks ago, and just said, I need you to stop doing that. I want you to stop, and I want you to just to think, before you come into my presence, think about how much I love you, and let that begin there. We love him because he first loved us. He started it. He started it. So if he started, that means he's got something to say. There's something that he wants you and I to experience, and it's his love. And the love of God is the resting place and the source of our life. This is where we live from. This is where we dwell from. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. Now notice this. This is an experience you're supposed to have. Now what I love about Jesus is that the Jesus that we serve is not just theology. Thank God for good teaching. Thank God for theology. You need solid doctrine for your life to be established on word. But if it's just left in theology, we're missing a big part of what the gospel is. The big part of the gospel is experiential. Yeah, you want to experience this thing. What changed my life? It was an encounter with Jesus. That radically changed my life forever. Why? Because I experienced him. I knew about him, but now when I experience him, now I know him. Right? It changes. Now it says this. Then you will be, as everyone experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all his dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measure that transcends our understanding. Just like the word that we heard just this evening a little while ago. This extravagant love pours into you while you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve. Say it with me. He will achieve. He will achieve. He will achieve. He will. Come on, say it. He will achieve. He will. What will he achieve? Infinitely more. Infinitely more than my greatest request. Infinitely more than my most unbelievable dream. Infinitely more. He will exceed my wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. And the purpose, ooh, there's a wheel. And the purpose behind that is that there would be glory in the church throughout generations. Amen. That's the goal. That's the premise. So I believe why the Lord even called this conference together is for our time together is for you and I, as individuals, as families, as a church family, is to see where we may have put limitations on him, because he is an unlimited God, so we can actually start seeing the limitless life. We're called to it. I don't know about you, but I'm done. I want the limits off. Right, when I was even praying, this was a little while ago for this conference, just in John chapter 11, that, you know, the story of Lazarus being wound up. Remember when Jesus rose him from the dead? Remember what happened? Lazarus came out, and what did Jesus say to the men that to do to Lazarus? Loose him and let him go. And I believe that's what the word that the Lord wants for you and I. Loose you and let you go. Time to take off those restraints off. Maybe they're blinders. Maybe it was somebody said a word over you. Somebody said something to you that's constantly there. Well, it's time that those things come off, because our God is a limitless God. Amen. God never designed us to have choking points, right? I'm going to take about 3 minutes just to go over, just so everyone's caught up. Why are we? No choking limits. God never designed for you to go, it's too hard to believe. It's too hard to even fast. I can't do that. I can't see myself doing that. That's the problem. We got to start seeing ourselves being able to do that. I never thought I'd pastor. And here we are. Pastoring. Okay. Now, how is it that God has never called you and I to have choking points? Because Romans 8, 29 and 30, this is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. I love it. And the Message Bible brings it out so clear. Again, let's look at it together. I want you, if you've got your Bible, turn there, because I need you to see it. I need you to get it on the inside of you. Let this be an image on the inside of you. You know, you and I, we think in pictures, do we not? Like if I say dog, who thought D-O-G? Dog. Anybody thought D-O-G? No. What kind of dog did you think of? Maybe your own dog. Maybe it was a big dog named Raja. I like that dog. It reminds me of Beethoven. It's just a gigantic beast of a dog. That's what I thought when I said dog. That was the first thing that came to my mind. But you and I, every time we hear words, it gives us pictures. Well, this is what Jesus designed for you. And that's how we think. That's how we view things. And I want this word to be imprinted on the inside of you, that you just see the picture of it. He says this, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He knew what he was doing, and he decided from the beginning to shape the lives of those who love him. Now, how does he want to shape it? You see it there? Along the same lines as his son. So what is the design for your life? Is it based on the family that you grew up in? No, thank God for all those things, but you're called to something higher than just your last name. Thank God my standard is not to be a great housing, which is my last name. How great would that be? Thanks, my goal is housing, my standard is housing. No, this is the standard now for our life is Jesus. Again, I said this yesterday, that Jesus is not just an example of you or for you, he's an example of who you are. So when you read the Gospels, when you see Jesus do what he does, guess what? That's a representation of who you are. That's what he made you to be. Everything Jesus did, remember, he did it as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He didn't do anything as God. Because listen, if he did everything as God, I'm still amazed, but now I'm stuck because that's the limit. I can't do what God does. But since Jesus came down anointed by the Spirit of God, guess what? Now I go, I can do the exact same things that he did. I can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I can do that. Why? Because I got the same Spirit that lives on the inside of me that rose him from the dead. It's there. Pondrano, just slap your tummy. Get that six-pack going. Or that whatever pack you got going on there. Just maybe it's a one-pack. Just slap. Where is he? He's right here. He's on the inside of us. And it's time that we wake up and remember that. Get that in the forefront of our thinking. Continuing on, he says, the Son stands first in the line of humanity that he restored. We see the original and the intended shape of our lives there. Where? Come on, say it with me. Where is it? In him. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Jesus is now the standard for my life. That is a good news. That's a good place to go for a quick run if you needed to. Verse 30. After God made this decision of what his children should be like, he followed it by giving us everything that we need. He called us by name. Then after he called us by name, he set us on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with us to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun from the very beginning. God is still, you are still, God is working on you. He ain't going to stop until it's finished. He ain't going to stop. Is that maybe Manitoban? That sounds good. I like that. It ain't going to stop. He's going to keep going until the task is complete. So again, just to recap real quick, last night we talked about God needs access to us. He needs an access point. The same way, how did you get into this room tonight? What did you do? You came through the doors. And what were the doors? They're our access point, right? The same way that you got access into this sanctuary, well, it's that's the doors were the access points. When you leave here tonight, you're going to go and you're going to get some nice little goodies afterwards. Guess what? You're going to have to go through another set of doors. Those doors give you access into the next room. Well, Jesus needs access into your and my life. And Jesus' access is through the heart. It's through our heart. Remember in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, we know this verse very familiar. What is Jesus doing? Eating? Yes, you're a smart girl. That's what you're smart about. She said, eating? He wants to eat. Absolutely, he does want to eat. But somebody's got to, what do they have to do then, girl? If Jesus is knocking on the door, what do you got to do? What do you do? Open it. You got to open the door. Right? Everybody say, open the door. You got to open the door. You got to give him access. He will not just come in and like SWAT team it. Kaboom, kick the door down and say, here I am. That's not our Jesus. He is a perfect gentleman. So he'll stand at the door of your heart and he'll knock. And he says, if anyone will listen And if anyone will open it from the inside, I will come in and I will dine with him and he will feast with me. And that's where the relationship is. This is the calling of you and I. This is the great high call that we have, that we have the privilege and the ability to have relationship with the God that hung the stars in the sky. And he wants to talk to me. He wants to talk to you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to talk about your day. He wants to show you about your life. But he needs access. Because again, he's not going to burst down the door. And again, so my heart, we know this, that what are the eyes of the Lord doing again to this evening? He's looking around and I want him to stop over Swan River and go, hey, man, there's some people that love me. There's some people that I can get access to. And when he gets access, then God will take whatever you give him. And this is what we went into last night. So now, real briefly and quickly, how do I move my heart closer to God? We talked about a few things last night, and this is the test. If you get it, Fallon will give you something, I'm sure. Yeah, maybe some nachos or something like that. But three things. Number one, moving my heart closer to God, my blank is up to me. Who said it? Hunger! Nachos for you. Nachos. My hunger is up to who? Me. If I want to be hungry, if I want to be passionate for God, guess who is up to? Me. It belongs to me. Again, in the natural, by not eating, you get hungry. In the spirit world, the more that you eat, the hungrier you get. The more times you spend worshiping every single day, guess what? The hungrier you get. So my hunger is completely up to me. Now, next, what I'm going to do, I'm going to keep my hunger. I'm going to make sure I'm going to maintain my hunger. And then thirdly, I'm also going to make room for God. By making room for God, simply, that's just something I put in. Because if I don't make room for God, the urgent things in life are going to take over what's important. And the world will make sure that urgent things constantly come up. This is going to take place. Oh, somebody needs this. Oh, somebody needs that. Oh, somebody needs some of my time on this. So throughout the week, I pen out my calendar, what every week looks by, and I pen in my time with the Lord every single day. This is my time with the Lord. I don't care what's happening. I'm going to be with Jesus. Oh, something's really happening. Something's going on crazy in my life. I really need you. Sure, you can wait after my hour's done. That's not real Christian. No, this is where my life flows. If I'm not with him, I'm of no use to anyone. I actually, when my wife says, hey, Joel, I need you to take all four kids. I go, come again now? I need you just to, babysit your own kids for a little bit. Just kidding. I do not go that way. I'm the dad. Those are my kids. I look after them. But she says, I just need you to take the four kids. I'm going to just go spend some time with the Lord. I go, please go. Please go. I need you to be with Jesus. My wife is better when she's with Jesus. And you're filming this. I just see that right now. So, I'm just kidding. She's heard me say that. But in the same way, she would say, Joel, I need you to be with the Lord. We tell each other all the time, Jamie, you will always be my number two. Jesus is my number one. And if we have that in proper order, my marriage has not failed. And it won't fail. Why? Because Jesus is in the proper place, right? And that's what we're going to get to a little bit tonight. Now, what I want to share this evening is just this word, guarding our heart. And tomorrow, I'm excited for tomorrow morning. So again, if you're here this evening, I want to encourage you, come tomorrow, because you're kind of only getting, the middle part of what's happening. And tomorrow, we're going to talk about imagination and the power of imagination. But this evening, I want to talk about guarding our heart, because our heart, as we're going to find out here, let me go into this verse before I just tell you. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Very familiar verse of Scripture again for you, but I want you to see it. This is what the proverb says. Above all. Everybody say above all. Above all. What does above all mean? Above all. Man, you're smart here. You got a smart church, Pastor Cam and Candace. This is a good place. Above all means? Above everything else that I do in my life. This is the biggest part of my life right here. You ready? You can see it on the screen, so you're, I've read that. But I want you to see it with fresh eyes this evening. Above all, guard the affections of your heart. Why? For they affect all that you are. Everything that you are right now is because of condition of your heart. If you're miserable this evening, it's your heart. If you're happy this evening, guess what? It's your heart. It's up to you. Then he goes on to say, pay attention. Everybody say, pay attention.
Pay attention.
Pay attention. What does that mean?
Pay attention. Yeah, there you go. Another smart Alex in the room.
Okay, pay attention to what? The welfare of your innermost life, your innermost being. Now, how many know we pay so much more attention to the external things? How do I look? Unless you're Bob. He doesn't look in mirrors, I just realized. Where's the brother? Oh, he's back there. Hi, Bob. But I just found that out. Bob doesn't look in mirrors. Why? Because he's so focused on paying attention to his inner man. That's got to be what it is, right? And it's got to be what it is. But he's telling us, don't pay attention to your external life. He's saying, pay attention to what's going on the inside. And I mentioned this again last night, but something that I do on a weekly basis, I give myself regular checkups to see what's going on the inside. I have got to take a look what's happening on the inside. And that's where I just have it out with the Lord. I'm able to talk to him, and he corrects me, maybe gives me some advice, counsel about how I can adjust and tweak some things in my life. But I give myself regular checkups. When's the last checkup you had? A nice little physical. Except we call it spiritual, right? When God can snap. Let's get into this, man. When's the last time we went to Dr. Jesus and said, Jesus, here I am. Hebrews chapter 4 says that everything before him is what? Naked. You can't hide anything, so you might as well just, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Might as well, because you're not hiding anything from him anyway. So you got to give him something to work with. And he's telling us to pay attention to the welfare of our innermost being. Why? Because from there, from the innermost being, look what it says. What? Flows life. Everybody say, life flows.
Life flows.
Now this is a big deal because so often we think that life happens to us. And yes, there are things that are out of our control that do happen, but according to the condition of my heart, I'm going to either react or I'm going to be in control of a situation that may happen to me. I'm in control. Life is going to happen, absolutely. Some things may happen to me that are out of my control, but what the proverb is telling you and I here is that, yeah, there's some external things that we cannot control, yet what's going on the inside of me is going to actually dictate what happens for my future. It's really cool to see a lot of young people here this evening. You are in control of what happens for your future. And where does it take place? It takes place in our heart. We look and we kind of think, oh man, how can that person go and shoot up his family and all of a sudden, you know, just this horrible massacre. It started in the heart. That's where life takes place. And how come that person's enjoying such success? How come that person's enjoying their marriage and they got a great family? Things just seem to be working. It's because the condition of the heart is proper. And listen, really come out of there. So the limitless life really comes out of our heart. That's where it's flowing. Are we doing okay? Okay. Your heart is a sponge. It's a complete sponge. It is soaking in, taking in everything you see, everything you hear, everything you say. The doorways to our heart, there's three doorways. Eyes, ears, mouth. What I'm speaking, what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing are imprinting itself on the inside of my heart and therefore flow the issues of life. Okay, now, Jesus connects the health of a heart with the fruit that's produced. Look at this, Luke chapter 6, 43 through 45. Jesus said this, a good tree can't, everybody say can't, produce bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. It's impossible, right? He says a tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person, look at this, 45, a good person produces good things from where? From the treasury of what? A good heart. And an evil person, what do they do? What do they produce? Evil. Why? Out of what? The treasury of an evil heart. So when you see somebody that does something stupid, oh, they have really a good heart. No, they don't. You can't be politically correct on all this kind of stuff. Jesus was very straight when he says this. Oh, they meant well. No, they didn't. They're an idiot. They got a bad heart. Now listen, as believers, we are not to judge people. Because when you judge somebody, you put a sentence on them. That's it. But what do we judge? We judge fruit. We're able to look at a person's life and go, there's not a whole lot of fruit coming out of that. I need to pay attention if I'm going to be around that person or not.
Okay, glad we got excited about that one. But then he says, what you say flows from what is inside your heart.
What you say is coming out of your heart. Anybody watch a lot of superhero movies or something? Anybody watch anything? What are we watching here, people? What are we watching?
Star Wars.
I don't know Star Wars. dun, 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 dun. Something like that. I don't know. Superheroes are good. Everyone knows some super. But you know, you spend enough time watching that. I'll use my son as an example. My son really enjoys soccer. He's a big soccer guy. So every Saturday morning, what we typically do is we turn on the English Premier League and we get our hot chocolate, we get our big bowl of popcorn, and we watch the game. What happens is when he's watching that game, he's seven, and all of a sudden he'll see a move that a player does. Guess what he does? He'll go and reenact that. We are a product of what we've been seeing, what we've been watching. And so that's why Jesus continually tells us, keep your eyes fixed on me, because what you see him do, you start doing.
Okay, now, what am I supposed to be guarding my heart from? And this is where I'm going to use my illustration. I'm going to just put these three chairs, Pastor Cam, just kind of in a line right over here, if that's all right. Thank you. I want everyone, go with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. And Christian, you work out, man. You are a machine. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, what are we guarding our heart from? Right? If the proverb tells us, I want you to guard your heart, pay attention to what's going on the inside of you. Or, hey, be careful, watch out. Take a look at what's happening on the inside. We're protecting our heart. What are we protecting our heart from? Anybody want to know what we're protecting our heart from?
Oh,
all right. Okay, well, let's go into this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Yeah, I will make that work. I was trying to find a little kid's tunnel, but alas, I couldn't find a kid's tunnel. And I even tried like stealing from your nursery back there, but alas, there's no tunnels. There's a slide, which would be great, but it doesn't work. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. He says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And we kind of hear that word and go, idols? Well, I don't got any shrines. I don't got any golden calves hanging out in my living room. Cool. You got a lot of deer heads, though, probably, I'm sure. Right? Yeah, okay. You got a lot of catching deer around here, so I know you got those. He says, little children, keep yourselves from false idols, from idols. And then I love the way the Amplified brings it out, from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart due to God. What am I protecting my heart from? Anything and everything. That what? That would occupy the place in my heart due to God. He said, goes on, from any sort of substitute for him that would take first place in your life. Now, again, what is an idol? Simply in our day and age, an idol is anything in our life that would put God second place. God is a horrible number two. He won't work there. He doesn't operate there simply because God doesn't play with other gods very nicely. You know, I'll give you this little example. I mean, just thinking of play dates and, you know, God doesn't play with other gods. When my oldest son, when he was 2.5, almost 3-ish, his favorite story that we went over and we repeated quite often was David and Goliath. Now, that's a personal favorite of mine as well. But what we would teach our son, like, we didn't skip over anything, you know. David just, you know, nicely cut off the head of Goliath, and it was just cute and great. No, we reenacted the full story, right? And so, you know, how it all begins is David would come walking up. He would look at Goliath, you uncircumcised Philistine. And so I was Goliath most of the time, and Jace would be David. And he would come up to me and say, you uncircumcised Philistine, in a 3-year-old language. And it kind of came out, I'm circumcised, and like it came out different. But this didn't just stop in our home. We would go to the park, and Jace would find any kind of kid, and he would walk up to them and say, you uncircumcised Philistine, I come at you with the name of the Lord God. And it's like, ah, man. And so you got to run to the parents and explain, I'm sorry. I don't know if your kid's uncircumcised or not. I apologize. Just an awkward, like,
Talk about breaking the ice in any kind of situation. It's just like that. That's Jace would just come up, "You uncircumcised Philistine, I come at you in the name of the Lord God." Like, don't do it. And so he pretends to, like, he's, thank God he didn't pick up a rock, but he would, and he'd pretend to throw. And if the person didn't fall down, and he would just take off and he would tackle them. He tackled girls. He tackled little boys. He tackled 6-year-old girls. He tackled 7-year-old boys. It didn't matter. If anybody, you could see his stance. All of a sudden he would be playing and all of a sudden he'd be like, "You uncircumcised Philistine, I come at you in the name of the Lord God." And if he didn't fall, they're doing it wrong. So he would kaboom, take him right out. That's just what you do. I said, "Boy, that's it. That's scriptural. Knock him down. Just cut off his head, man. Rip it off." And then you would hold him. I got him. And so we teach our kids. They need to know the whole word. I don't like the kids version that you get of it. It's just like, "Oh, and David killed Goliath." Yeah, but there's more to it than that, right? He took his head and then he ran after him. Why did the Philistine army run away? It's because David had the head of Goliath and said, "I got him. You're next." I love David. Nothing sissy about that guy. Anyways, that's a good story. But God doesn't play nicely with other gods. He does not. You remember that story when the Ark of the Covenant was brought, the Philistines have captured it. And what did they do? They put it into their sanctuary where Dagon was. All of a sudden, what happened the next morning? Where was Dagon? He was on the ground. Man, what's going on? So the Philistines put it back up. Then the very next day, the night went off. The next day, they come back into it. Now Dagon's over and his head fell off. What is going on? So they kind of duct tape that thing back up, saran wrap it, and put him back up there. The next morning, they come back. Dagon's head's off and his extremities are off. God doesn't play nice with other gods. He doesn't like other gods. And he will fight for you and I. But here's the thing we need. He needs access. So I believe this, as believers, we've made a heart decision, heaven over hell. How many of you made that decision? You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is a great place. Amen. Awesome. But the next question that we have to answer and the next question that we need to make a decision on, have we made the decision heaven over this world? That's a big one that you and I have got to make a decision on. Heaven over hell, no problem. That's a no-brainer. But when it comes to heaven or the world, that is where a lot of Christians get tied up. Because what keeps people from moving their hearts closer to God, or what keeps people from experiencing an unlimited life, it's becoming too busy with worldly things or becoming too carnal. Everybody say carnal. Apparently carnal, you know what that is in actually Spanish? It means meathead. You're too meaty. It's all you're thinking about. And actually, what our Bible tells us, Romans chapter 8, to be carnally minded is what? Death. That word death just means separation, whether it's physical death or whether it's even death in your emotions. Depression comes from this place. To be too carnally minded, thinking too much about carnal things, leads to depression. You watch the debate long enough, you'll become depressed. Think about, dear Lord, who's going to get in office next? I sure don't. The world's going to go to hell. Yeah, it's a mess. But Christians should not be depressed. Christians should not be discouraged. Why? Their head's in the wrong place. They're too carnal. Come on now. This thing's got wheels. So I will come back to you because I can turn this thing. And if I need to go preach over here, I know how to. I can just flip this thing back and I can just, there's water. Well, I'll just stay here then, all right, if that's it. I didn't know that there was that. Okay, so let's go into this. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. So if we want to move past, if I want to get out of this, what can I do? Right here, John tells us, don't set the affections of your heart. You know, you set the affections of your heart. You set it. You determine where your heart's going to go. You determine what your heart's opening up to. He says, don't set the affections of your heart on this world or loving the things of this world. Because what happens when you love the things of this world? What are things of this world? Literally anything. Computer. Thank you, man. Thank you. Computer. Anything. In this world, he says, the love of the Father and the love of this world are incompatible, meaning they do not coexist. The Message Bible brings it out like this. Love for the world squeezes out love for the Father. If you're going, man, how come I'm not loving God? You need to check up on what your love for the world is like. And that's just the reality. It's not like I'm going to just try harder with Jesus. No, it may need to be, I need to distance myself from other things in my life that are taking over too much in my thought life. Too many carnal, natural things. Again, we're talking about limitless. This all ties in. If I want to experience the limitless things that God has for me, I cannot be too tied up in natural, carnal things. All right, let's continue on. Verse 16, for all that the world can offer us. Now, here's the three things that the world's going to offer you and I. Number one, the gratification of our flesh, or the physical pleasure. How many know this is what the world offers? Physical pleasure. Number two, it offers us the allurement of the things of this world, or the craving for everything that we see. And lastly, the obsession with status and importance. These are the three things that the world offers. In fact, we see that Satan, he offered this. This is how Adam and Eve fell, were in these three things right here. Then when Jesus was tempted, Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, what did Satan tempt him in? These exact same three things right here. Now, this is something we got to tell our young people. We got to be honest. Are the pleasures of life fun? Yes, they are fun. But what the devil doesn't tell you is that it leads to death. Are the pleasure of the eyes fun? Yeah. There's satisfaction to it in the flesh, but the end of it leads to death. So just saying, oh, sin is no fun, that is a complete lie, because sin is fun. Going to the bar, partying with your buddies is a lot of fun. But at the end of it, first of all, you don't remember it. And the next day, eventually the goal behind it is to lure you into it, so it's a trap, so that it keeps you longer than you want to stay. Sin will make you pay something that you do not want to pay. It's something that we work with, even a lot of people, especially young folk in. Is this something they get caught in? We worked with a lot of guys that even just going through some porn addictions, and porn stuff. Even at a young age, you give the devil an inch, he will take a mile in that realm. Because what happens? Your flesh never knows when to stop, and it always wants more. Just one more drink. Just one more puff. Just one more look. If I just go, just one more time. Just one more time would be great, would be great, would be great. Jesus is trying to tell you, and I don't go that way. I'll fulfill those needs and desires. He'll do it. He'll absolutely do it, but he needs access. You got to give him something to work with. I think that's one of the biggest problems that I have even pastoring is like, if you could just give God something, he could fix it. He could get in there. He could work with you, but you got to give him something. Amen. Now, verse 17, it says, this world or the world system that leaves God out of it, what's happening to it? Its desires, they're slowly passing away. And those who do the will of God, they'll live forever. Now, is there anything wrong with having stuff or things? No. When is it a problem? Come on now. You guys want to preach this? This is okay. The problem is when it has me. Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul said this, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all things for what? Our enjoyment. God loves that you have stuff. Man, it was so great. If there was no quads this past week, it's fun. Enjoy it. But this is my attitude that I want to have with my things, is that if God says, hey, I want you to sow that, I want that to be a blessing for somebody else, that I would be an open hand and say, Lord, absolutely, I'd love to do that. I'm not holding on to anything. I don't want anything holding me. What's better is if I have stuff, because if stuff has me, man, that doesn't work out real well. But if I own stuff, that changes everything. If I own my car and God says, I want you to give it, sure. My wife and I, we've done that. I want you to give the car. Gladly. No problem at all. Knowing this, that God will take care of me. I'm not going to walk for the next 4 months. God's got my back, so I just have to be willing to hear what he's asking me to do. There's been times when the Lord said, I want you to give X amount of dollars. And okay, God. Slowly goes into the offering bucket. Are you sure you want to do that? Go. Just do it. Just do it. I don't want money to have me. I have it and I give it. Okay, Lord, I do it. Just to show my trust him. Now, I want to just use this as an illustration. You know, this is Fallon's right here. This is not mine. Like Cam is so easily ready to tell everyone. This is Fallon's bag, but it sure looks good on a guy, doesn't it? Yeah, okay. Now, I want to just use this as a little illustration, and I apologize for my lack of kids' tunnel here. But, you know, Jesus actually said in Matthew chapter 7, talking about the short and narrow, right, or the narrow road. Remember that, Matthew chapter 7? He says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, right? So the problem is that what Jesus is telling you, now he's okay with us having stuff. He doesn't want stuff having me. Because the whole end result is because, hey, right here, here I'm in this life, and I'm having all this stuff. Just, you know, picture me. Is this, Pastor Lynn, is that your bag? Can I just, you know, this is going to be filmed, so don't be memeing any of this stuff, all right? It does look good on me. Thank you, Pastor Lynn. Does it match with my color? What's that? This is perfect. I'm going to give you no good shots. So the problem is, okay, this is the life that Jesus has for me. On the other side is everything that I'm desiring and I'm wanting in God. It's right over there. But here I'm with all this stuff, and I got my bag. This is my stuff. This is my money. This is my car. This is what God gave me. This is my everything that in here. This is my job. God gave this. I worked hard for this. I earned this money. I earned this car. I earned my house. Nobody's taking it from me. It belongs to me. I worked hard for it. Put a big stink in it. Now what God's saying, okay, well, I want you to walk this road with me. Okay, this is a very, very narrow. I'm going to just stop there just for show's sake. But am I going to get through? No, remember Jesus also used that example about the eye of a camel? It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to go into the kingdom of God. Why is that? It's because you and I, we got to strip ourselves of all of this stuff that it doesn't own me so that I can go through this. Again, I'm not going to go through it. Is that okay? Or do I have to prove it? Do it. Peer pressure is a killer, I tell you. I tell you that right now. Do it. Do it. All right, no big deal. Good night, everybody. Have a great night. All right. That's it. But the whole purpose behind it is I can't be taking this stuff. This stuff can't own me. Because if it owns me, there's no way I'm going to be living out the life that God has called me to. Thank you so much, Pastor Linda. I just found this. I'll leave it right here. Maybe we can share it later. Okay. But how do I move away from this attitude? Like, I can't have this stuff having me. Because again, what are we talking about, the limitless life? Well, if I lay this stuff down, or if I say, God, this all belongs to you, I don't know what if he tells me to give it all away? There's way more where that came from. Yeah. Oh, but what if God, he tells me that, you know, you got to stay away from that person. That friend is gonna wreck some things in your life. But God, they're my closest friend. What happens if I'm not going to get another one? God's got more friends for you. That was the biggest thing for me growing up in high school. I like people. I'm an extrovert. I like hanging out with folk. And there was a lot of people. I remember that was one of the toughest decisions for me, is just saying, okay, you know what, guys? I'm going to Bible school. Guys, I'm out. I'm done with the bar. I'm done with those things. I ain't doing that no more. And that was a hard thing for me to do. But on the other end of it, there's some God-fearing people on the other side. It was so worth it. It is so worth it. So now, just answering this last question, how do I move away from the attitude of things having me? We have to relocate ourselves mentally. You have to relocate yourselves mentally. Colossians chapter 3, turn there for a moment in my last verse. But you and I, we have got to take the time right now, and this is more me leading into tomorrow morning service, but we have to train ourselves to see the unseen world. Remember what you used to do when you were a kid? All of a sudden a tree became a tree fort, or a tree became like your secret hiding place for your bat cave or something like that. Remember you used to do all that? What were you doing? You were using your imagination. Well, right now, we have got to get back to used to actually seeing the unseen world. We have to take time practicing and seeing what is in another realm. We got to do that. Colossians chapter 3, look at this, verse 1 through 3. It says, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, what does he say? Come on, read it out with me, everyone. Set your sight. Say it with me. Set your sight. Again, set your sight. Again, what? Set your sight. On what? The things of this world? No, if you died with Jesus, he's saying set your sight on something else. Relocate yourself mentally. He's saying set your sights on the realities of heaven. Where it says where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. He says think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. And that doesn't mean you just neglect the earth, because you're still here. You still have responsibility. I'm not telling you that. But he's saying pay more attention to what's going on up there. We got depressed Christians because what they do is the more time that you spend looking around here, the more you get depressed. When you look up, you get impressed. When you look down, you get depressed. When you look around, you, man, you can get oppressed. There's problems everywhere. But if you keep your eyes fixed on the one above, start living life impressed. It changes everything. Okay, think about the things of heaven, not on things of this earth. Why? Because you die to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, why are we talking all about these things in the heart? Because it affects my imagination. And what is the imagination? Just to give you a little tidbit for tomorrow. Imagination in the Hebrew is the word yeser, which means conception. In the natural, in order to give birth, you have to conceive. Well, in the spiritual, it's the exact same way. You have to conceive in order to give birth to something spiritually. You got to see it, not with these eyes. Here's the spiritual law. I'm going to just give you a little tidbit. If you can see it, you can have it. If you can't see it, you can't have it. And this is talking about the limitless life. If you can see it, you can have it. If you can't, can't. I remember doing this in the sporting world. This is what our coaches, when I played for Western Canada, we traveled lots across North America. And this is something that we would do. Our coach would sit us down. He said, I want to, so we would be playing against, you know, Team Hawaii, for example. We'd be on the bus ready to go out. He says, before you go out, I want you to take 10 minutes right now. And I want you to see you playing in your role. So we'd sit there. Kind of a lot of people would make fun of them. That's stupid. But it was the smartest thing. What our coach is trying to do is he's trying to get us to see situations in our game that what would happen when this guy did this. Oh, yeah, I'd go that way. Okay, somebody's going to kick the ball. Okay, I'm going to do this. He would get us to see it before we saw it so that when the opportunity came, I've already saw it. I'm just acting it out. We got to see some things. And that's how the limitless life begins, is in you and I seeing things that we can't see with these natural eyes. As believers, we got to get good looking at things that aren't seen. We're too stuck in this natural world, and you and I were never designed to like operate in that level. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. And God has called you and I to set our sights a lot higher than just what we're seeing. Amen? Amen. Now, before we close, or you know what? I don't know if we're gonna just leave that. That's that song there. Thanks. We're gonna just leave that, guys. I think just for time's sake. So what I want to set our tithes to do is I need a heart that is clear from bitterness and offense, from the distractions of this world. Why? So that I can capture with my thoughts what God needs me to see. And I believe every single one of you have some thoughts that God needs you to have. You ever thought about that? God needs you to think about something. He needs you to capture something. So can we just for a moment just give God something to work with? Can we just give him a moment? Yeah, maybe we'll just tinkle the ivories for a second. Yeah. I want you just in where you're sitting, just for a moment, I want you just to allow the Lord just to show you a picture. Let him give you a thought. Let him give you something that you can maybe write down in your own journal, write down in your phone, or whatever it is that you have. But I believe the Lord wants to start taking some of the limits off this evening. And the only way that we can do that is if we just take a moment. Is it possible just have the lights dimmed at all in here? Just for a moment. I want just every eye closed just for a minute. Let's give God an opportunity with something to work with here for a moment. So have your eyes closed. The Bible says in Isaiah that those who keep their mind fixed on him, they will have perfect peace. What are you believing God for right now? What is something that you've thought about, something that you've talked maybe with your husband or wife about, or your family about, or a good friend about? Maybe it's a loved one coming home. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's seeing a relationship restored. But you need to see that relationship being restored. Maybe it's something that's been bothering you. Maybe things in your life that you're trying to get rid of, but man, I just can't seem to get rid of it. Continually just asking God, get rid of this, get rid of this. That's not the answer. He needs you to see yourself free. What would it look like if that was the last cigarette you just smoked? What would it look like if that was the last drink you just drank? What would it look like if that was the last cuss word that came out of your mouth? What if that was the last time you looked at a pornographic image? What if that was the very last one? How would you see yourself? See yourself free, that all of a sudden when the temptation comes, whoa, 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 I ain't doing that. I'm free. Do you see yourself free? Do you see yourself dancing? Do you see yourself celebrating? Go, man, that thing that had me, that had my family for generations, I'm breaking that tonight. I'm breaking it with a new image on the inside. Oh, I see that relationship restored. I see my marriage stronger than ever before. I see my husband loving me. I see my wife caring deeply about me. Oh, I see a good job, good pay, good hours, so I can serve in my church. I can be a blessing to other people. See it. Come on, get that image on the inside. Stir that up. Don't let your mind just wander off yet. Get it. Get it. See myself walking normally again. See myself free from COVID, the fear of COVID. Regardless of what it is, see it. So, Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, your word says that the eyes that see and ears that hear are both a gift from you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that over this church family, over every individual, over every family that's represented here, in the name of Jesus, eyes that see. Say this with me. I have eyes that see. I have ears that hear. My eyes are blessed. My ears are blessed. I know the voice of my good shepherd. He leads me out. He calls me by name. I'm free. I am free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See your body well. See you walking normally. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Giving us a new picture of ourselves. Oh, I see me blessed. I see me with a smile on my face because I have a relationship with you. I see myself closer to you, Lord. I see my times of worship with you personally, like alone in my room. I see myself just dancing and enjoying fellowship with you. I see it. I see it. Out of that, I impact the job that I'm in. I impact my coworkers. I impact my boss, or I impact my employees. I see the business that I run or the business that I'm in. I see it turning towards you. I see my life there as an influence to get Jesus famous in that place. I see that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Was that helpful for anyone this evening? Is that all? We're all good? Okay, awesome. I don't know if you had to.
First of all, thank you, Lord, for what you're speaking to each one of us. He always knows just the right thing to say. And also, Lord, we thank you for Joel. We thank you for bringing him to us for such a time as this. And we lift up him and Jamie, and we lift up their family, and we lift up their church, and we lift up their ministry. Oh Lord, we thank you that you have called them to our nation, that they are pillars, spiritual pillars in our nation. And Lord, I pray that they would feel this, that they would feel strengthened with might in the inner man, because they know that they are not alone. And we join with them, and we stand with them for our nation. Hallelujah. We are stronger together, and we come together in our Father's house. And we thank you for what's been done here so far this weekend, Lord. And it's so much more than a weekend. You always complete what you have started. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.